comes the sun and I say it's all right. Summer is what we talk about the next hour here on the Ideas Network. And our guest is the author of Summer, A User's Guide. Suzanne Brown is our guest. Suzanne is madly in love with summer and the feelings it evokes, the carefree spirit of freedom, the adventure that fall, winter, and spring simply don't provide. Summer, she writes, entices us to lose our inhibitions, to have fun, to be curious, and to seek adventure. We are joyous upon its arrival in June. And bittersweet, I always do get depressed in September as it fades into September. Summer is fabulous, but fleeing, so why not make the most of every moment of summer? She's written this lovely book, Summer, A User's Guide, and it's just filled with all kinds of ideas. It's quite eclectic. It's how to take a day hike, how to make the perfect steak, how to put together a scavenger hunt, what about fireflies, caring for worker furniture, basic first aid control, how to play beach volleyball, the Hawaiian tropic scent, how to pack for a picnic, what's for breakfast, the 4th of July, which we will talk about, flag etiquette, surfing, how to use a skim board, how to do a flip turn if you're swimming, and the list goes on. And we'll be welcoming phone calls. And I think we'll get a lot of calls about what you love about summertime. It certainly is my... I don't like to work in the summer. That's always my... You know, you just want to be... It's so fleeting. You just want to do, be outside, sail and walk and bike and take trips and be on the water. So we'll welcome your phone calls for Suzanne. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. If you're in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. 414-227-2050 for you to join our conversation. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi.
Hi.
Great intro. That was so lovely.
Thank you. Summertime. We love it, Suzanne.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir here.
I know. And it's just you. I'm wondering how you decided, because it's such, as I said, an eclectic book. You have all kinds of things. How did you pick what you were going to include in this?
Oh, it was a never-ending process, I have to say. You know, I came up with the idea. You know, I have a visual design business, but I've always wanted to write a book, and it seemed to me that everything was taken up. There's a million cookbooks, there's tons of entertaining books and how-to books. And I said, I wonder if there's a book out there that's just a guide to living in the summertime. Mm-hmm. And I did some research, and alas, there was not a book, and I just started thinking of all the things that I love about summer. And it was never ending. I would wake up in the middle of the night, and another idea would pop into my head. Oh, I forgot about that.
Aww.
And it just evolved into this, and you're right, it is. It's a very eclectic book. It's a hybrid, because it's part how-to book, part cookbook, part just my musings on what summer should be and my summer's past. And, you know, there's a lot of things for kids in there as well. So it's definitely a book that you can dip into again and again to find information, but you can also read from cover to cover.
You sure can. So here we are. It's July 3rd. We're going to be celebrating in Milwaukee with fireworks tonight. If the weather holds, we hope it does. Let's start with the 4th of July. What will you be doing? And we'll all be celebrating all over the country this event.
Well, I have to tell you, you know, because 4th of July, it falls in the middle of the week. We're actually celebrating it tonight in our household. We're having some friends over tonight so they can recover tomorrow, as opposed to going to work on Thursday feeling, you know, bloated and you know, maybe hungover. So we're having some friends over tonight, and I'm making some recipes from the book. I'm doing the beer can chicken, which is a great recipe.
Yes, that's delicious. Mm.
I can't imagine a better way of cooking chicken. I mean, maybe in the fall roasting it in the oven, but beer can chicken on the grill is just great. And so I'm going to do some simple recipes tonight. We're going to sit outside because the weather here in New York is absolutely perfect. No humidity.
Mm.
The sun is out. The sky is blue. So I'm hoping that's going to stay that way for a while. So tomorrow's going to be a lazy day for us. Maybe we'll head down to the, we live near the Hudson River in New York, so we might head down to watch the fireworks. But otherwise, tomorrow's a lazy day. Tonight's where the partying begins.
And you do, when we think of summer, we think of lakes and water, and we'll talk about that. But you also include summer in the city.
Oh, yeah. Well, we live in New York. We live about 50 miles north of New York City. So we, you know, we have city friends who, you know, don't have the benefit of having a backyard, and they don't have fireflies, but they throw great parties on their rooftops, and they've managed to find a little bit of, you know, that summer spirit, even in, you know, the dog days of summer in the city. And you can do that. Summer should be, to me, summer is a state of mind.
Hmm.
It's about feeling good and relaxing and spending time with family and friends and eating simple foods that are, you know, I just bought 2 bags of delicious cherries, and I can't get enough
right.
of them.
Oh.
And to me, that personifies, that is summer, just eating a bowl of cherries.
That is summer. The other thing about summer, and I wonder if we like it so much, you talk about when you were a child, you spent every waking moment outdoors. We work now and can't do that. But I wonder if it's just that we spend so much time outside that it makes us feel better.
It does make us feel better. And then there's sunshine, and you're breathing fresh air. I think that, you know, we live in the suburbs of Westchester, and everybody has a busy schedule. Even the kids have it. The kids go from soccer practice to band practice to
right.
tutoring. When I was growing up, and I find that, you know, since I've been getting feedback on the book, everyone else kind of had the same childhood that I did. We were allowed to go outside and play, and there weren't as many concerns about us going out. And my parents would be like, get out of the house. We don't want to see you until dinner time.
Right.
And then after dinner, you'd be like, go outside. We don't want to see you until it gets dark. And we'd go outside, and we'd use our imaginations, and we'd run around, and we'd get fresh air. We didn't realize we were doing healthy things. We
mm-hmm.
were just having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And now kids are, you know, they're kind of tethered to their, you know, they're text messaging their friends. They're on their playing video games or watching TV or on their computers. And I think it's kind of sad because the things that we did growing up were very healthy, and they were, you can use your imagination and you could run around, and you do feel better when you're doing that. I mean, believe me, I have more energy in the summer than I, in winter I go to bed at 9 o'clock at night.
Right.
Summer I'm like, the sun's still out. We can go for a walk. So yeah, I think that, parents need to make a concerted effort right now to encourage kids to do those things, to get healthy, to be outside, and to kind of get rid of the schedule in the summertime. It
right.
doesn't have to be, you know, going from one thing to the next in the summer months. That's the only time you have for freedom, and you should enjoy it.
We do have the luxury, and I know everybody doesn't have this, but some of us do, and somehow we got to be able to make it available to all. But we do go to some fairly pristine lakes in Minnesota and Wisconsin for many of our summer vacations, but one of my favorite things to do is to look at the constellations from the boat in the middle of a lake.
Yeah.
How often do we do that and watch shooting stars and look for the northern lights? And it just, and that kind of thing just stays in your heart for such a long period of time. And I love the fact that you have stars and constellations and how to identify them in your book.
I love doing that. When I turned 30, my husband and I were dating at the time, and all I cared about was getting a telescope. To me, getting a telescope was the best gift in the world. And since then, I just love looking up at the night sky. And, you know, some people live in the city, they don't have the luxury of looking up at the night sky. And when my friends come to the country, you know, the country, I'm saying that in quotes, they're like, wow, there's so many stars up here. But that's just a simple pleasure, laying in a hammock at night and looking up at the sky and seeing a shooting star, or waking up to see the Perseid meteor shower, which takes place in August, at some crazy hour, and sitting outside and watching that. It's just that's what life is about. Life is not about, you know, checking your email, you know, looking at your BlackBerry to see who, you know, sent you a message on vacation. Get rid of that stuff. Summer is about getting rid of all those things that we normally do, loosening up the proverbial tie, and having fun,
mm-hmm.
and living life and appreciating it.
Mm-hmm. Would you want to live in a place where it was warm and nice all year long, Suzanne?
No!
No, you wouldn't.
I have to say, my husband and I, we vacationed down in South Carolina.
Yes, we've done that too.
And I love it. I absolutely love it. But we've been there. We were there at Christmas this past year, and I didn't feel right to me. I like the change of seasons. I love getting away in the wintertime when it's gray and dreary, and getting away to Miami or somewhere for just a dose of sunshine. But the change of seasons, you need it. I feel like I need that to kind of see how time passes.
Mm-hmm.
And each season's wonderful. I mean, I love summer. Summer is my favorite season, but I love the fall. And when the spring comes, I'm happy. It's winter.
Mm-hmm.
Winter's good until January, and then, you know, then I wanted to move right to spring.
Right. It does, though, seem, I can't help but get a little depressed when September comes. My friends say, knock it off, because it's gorgeous weather here in September. But this idea of an ending, the idea of all the flowers and the sun and all going away for what seems to me to be an incredibly long period of time.
It is. It's bittersweet. And, I mean, you understand what winters are about, and we know what's ahead of us when the fall comes. It is, it's sad, but I really believe, and my husband will attest to this, that you can keep some of the spirit into your life, you know, no matter what the season. And a perfect example is we were watching TV, it was the middle of winter, and my husband came down and I smelt suntan lotion on him.
Oh,
and
right.
I was like, I smell the beach. And he said, I just thought I would put some suntan lotion on to think about summer again. And that's just a very simple way to remind yourself that, you know, it's not, everything shouldn't be a grind. Everything shouldn't be on schedule. You should be able to have some fun with it. And remember the season where you can loosen up the tie.
And that also brings back, so much of summer brings back very, very strong memories of what we did when we were children. When you mentioned suntan screen, I think of my dad who used Coppertone.
And you remember that smell. And you remember,
oh, yes, yes. And I like to use Coppertone now simply because it brings back years and years and years
ago. I just started using Noxzema to wash my face.
Oh, I forgot about Noxzema.
I know. And I saw it in the supermarket, and I have to say, I picked it up because I said, that reminds me of my summer vacations when my mom would put it on us when we were sunburned.
Oh,
and I've been using it, and just the smell of that Noxzema just brings back so many great summer memories.
Oh, and how does it work? Is it good?
It is. I have to say, it is pretty good. I mean, it's been around forever, so it must be pretty good.
That's a very distinctive smell as well.
It is. And I actually, I'm confessing all my secrets here, but I saw Gina Tay the other day at CVS, and I bought it. And Gina Tay was in the 70s, that was the smell that you put on in the summertime because it promised to cool you off after a day at the beach. So, you know, all these old scents, they're very evocative of my past.
Right. We are going to welcome phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655, and our guest has written a beautiful book, beautiful pictures, Summer, A User's Guide. Suzanne Brown is our guest. It looks at games that you can play, that children can play. There are wonderful recipes here of summertime things. You can grill breakfast. I've never had breakfast on the grill, so we'll try that sometime. How to arrange flowers. It looks at bikinis and beach towels and fireflies and scavenger hunts. Aren't those always fun? Scavenger hunts, there's a summertime thing that's fun. Games to play, how to play croquet. It just goes on. She's madly in love with summer and the feelings it evokes, she says, and they are all in this book. And some of you listening, I'm sure, are madly in love with summer as well. What are your memories of your best summer moments? What do you plan to do this summer? What about summertime in the city? We welcome your calls, and here's how you get us. 1-800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, 227-2050 if you're joining us in Milwaukee, 227-2050 for you to join our conversation. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
If a daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If a daddy's poor, just do what you feel. Speed along the lane, you a town or a turn of 25. When the sun goes down, you can make it good and live by.
Summer, A User's Guide. Suzanne Brown is our guest this hour, and we're going to be welcoming your phone calls about summer. We brought up a few of the things. They're simple things, but you associate them with summer, and somehow they bring to mind childhood and parents and generations and all kinds of things. It's a wonderful time of year. Kite flying is in the book, all kinds of different things, foods, recipes. We certainly welcome your phone calls of what you treasure about these summer months. 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, 227-2050 if you're joining us in the Milwaukee area. And we go to Brian from Wauwatosa. Hi, Brian.
Good morning.
Hi.
How's everybody?
All right. How are you?
Good, good. I'm busy building a kite.
Oh.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm a kite builder and flyer. And I was listening to your program, and I didn't hear kites until just before the introduction of myself.
Oh.
So, how about kites?
What are you building your kite out of?
Well, this is out of ripstop nylon.
Hmm.
And how hard is it to build a kite?
It's very simple. All
it
you
is.
Need is something to use as a structure. You could use folded paper. You can make a kite out of a sheet of paper if you fold it right. Then you can make it out of ripstop nylon and carbon fiber spars like I'm making this one. This is a six-wing Cody.
Is there any wood involved? Do you have to nail wood together to make the frame?
No, this is going to be carbon fiber. But I have plenty of kites that are put together with wood spars and spines. I've got a collection of some kites that are what, I don't know how old you guys are, but what I remember, and from the High Fly Kite Company, or High Flyer, out of Decatur, Illinois.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
And these are 20 and 30 years old. I'm picking up a kite from a guy in Illinois on Friday. That's an old Buster Brown Shoes for Boys kite.
Oh, my goodness.
Ah, I love that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Buster Brown Shoes for Boys. Huh.
But you know, there's a lot of good kite flying in Wisconsin. There's good clubs. And there's a lot of good retailers that offer very nice kites for a lot of money or for a little money.
Let me ask you a question about those stunt kites.
Yeah.
Can you actually build a stunt kite?
Oh, sure.
You can?
Sure. But that's all the new age materials, the ripstop nylon, carbon fiber. Even the string that you use is not regular string.
But for someone at home, if they just wanted to build a simple kite, what would be the material you would recommend?
Paper.
Paper? Huh.
Sure, paper. You can make some great kites out of paper. You can make them out of trash bags. All you have to do is go on the internet, Google kites, and you'll hit on so many websites that offer instructions for the simplest sled to the most complex Cody kite.
Hmm. Thank you so much for your call, Brian. Was it in your book or somewhere I read a wonderful memory? It was a beautifully written piece about a child whose most treasured gift was a kite that his grandfather had made for him and did it with such care, and what a treasure it was to this child.
Oh, no,
to remember it forever.
Like a great story.
I don't know where that came from, but somewhere.
It sounds good.
Yeah. Those kite festivals are neat if you can find them in the summertime. It's like watching ballet.
It's amazing.
Aren't they? Yeah, they're quite something.
It's amazing. Kite flying is one of those things. I mean, you do it when you're a kid, and you know, most of the time you get tangled up with your, you know, your sibling's kite, or you lose it in a tree.
Right.
But you know, some people the gentlemen just call. They take it seriously, and it's amazing when you go to a kite festival to see how creative the kite designing has become.
Right, and doing that along the beach. I know you did that as a child.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best place to do it. Yeah,
even those good winds.
Mm-hmm. And you've got to admit, beaches are pretty terrific places to be in the summertime.
They are. I, you know what? You're that is so true. They are. And I know that a lot of people in the middle of the country, they can't get to the beach. You know, I have to tell you, I spent my summers on the beach, and then all of a sudden, at one point when I was in my early 20s, I discovered lakes, and I was like, these are great.
Mm-hmm.
You can water ski. The water is you know, clear and fresh, and there's so many things to do on a lake. So, to me, as long as you're near the water, life is good.
Right.
There's something about the water that's very soothing.
I agree. Near the water or in the water. And this is the thing, I'm real old, but I have always wanted to learn to do a flip turn And you include in the book how to do a flip turn. I will learn how to do that this summer.
I have to tell you, you know, it's funny because, you know, certain things that, you know, people pick up on. And in this book, so many people have said to me, I've always wanted to do a flip turn.
Really?
That seems to be the common theme, that nobody actually knows how to do them.
Yeah, it's good. It's always fun to watch people doing the flip turns.
Oh, yeah. It's so sleek. The other thing is, you know, the old jump rope rhymes. I've been getting great feedback from moms, and I've gotten letters. I have a website, and people have been sending me letters of what they like about the book. And what the other common theme from moms, you know, jump rope games. Kids don't jump rope anymore. And the rhymes that we passed down, you know, my mom passed down to me, and you learn in the schoolyard. You know, the next generation doesn't even know what we're talking about when we talk about Miss Susie. So I think that's another thing, you know, that old-fashioned feeling of, you know, passing something to the next generation. It's, you know, it's sort of, it makes you feel like, the legacy is continuing.
Right. Brian, thanks for your call. We have some lines open. Tell us what you're loving about summertime or your memories of summertime. 800-486-8655 is the number. Bobby is next. Hi, Bobby.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's so much fun listening to you talk about summertime. How about the tents we used to make out of our wash line using sheets?
Oh, right.
That was great. Our moms weren't too happy.
Well, no, especially if you took a good sheet.
Exactly. It was raining the day before.
Oh, yeah, right. You talk about lakes. Well, we lived in a valley, and, of course, we had a creek running down through the valley. And our water to go play in was the creek water. And there were certain places that were deep, and you could get in clear up to your waist.
Oh, wow. We had a creek growing up, and we would go down there, and ours was, you know, if it rained, you'd be able to maybe bring a tube down there and do a little, you know, safe tubing. But the big thing we would do is go look for box turtles at the creek.
Oh, and we looked for crabs.
Oh, crabs.
Yeah, they were like sort of like a lobster, a miniature lobster.
Like a freshwater crab?
Pardon?
Are they're so like a freshwater?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh.
Right. And they could swim backwards, and they could swim frontwards, and they could get under rocks. And,
wow.
That was fun to do. I was thinking also of the different smells, and to me, to have worked out in the hay field, and all of a sudden it starts raining.
Oh.
And you can't make it up to the house because you're going to get soaked. And so, and you can't do anything because it's raining so hard, and you fall asleep in the haymow.
Oh.
The smell of fresh hay and the sound of rain on a tin roof can't be beat to put you to sleep.
It puts you right to sleep. We need that more in our lives right now.
Well, we certainly need rain. It is getting extremely dry. But Ontario just had its centennial celebration, and it was my 58th class reunion. And so it was kind of fun looking back at what we did in the summertime as teenagers. And it was mostly going to dances.
Oh.
We had dances in our community halls, and there would be wedding dances and on Wednesdays and the wedding dances on Saturdays. And you went across the street to a little cafe that made malted milks and hamburgers.
That's perfect.
And, of course, you walked a lot of times, and the smell of the wild flowers that grow along the road are something that one never forgets.
You're right. I was walking down the driveway to get the mail the other day, and I smelled honeysuckles.
Oh,
I was like, oh,
right.
That smell. I remember, popping the honeysuckles and sucking the ends of them to get that sweet taste, and it just reminded me of when I was a kid.
We should have included that song, "You're My Honeysuckle Rose." That's a great song.
Oh, you're right.
That makes me think of summertime as well. Thank you so much for the call. And when she talked about the sheets thing, that's another thing that we used to do as kids. Is I think a lot of kids do this, just get an old tent and you sleep out in your backyard in summertime,
so
too. Isn't
that's,
it?
I mean, that's one thing that I think kids should definitely be doing now. I actually did a radio show recently, and someone called in and said, you know, I set up a tent for my kids in the backyard, and I wanted them to, you know, do the things that I did, you know, when I was a kid. And I checked on them at 11 o'clock, and there was this giant cord running from the house out into the tent, and they were playing video games out of the tent. And I said, oh, no, it's that bad.
Variation. You know, it's 2007. That's their thing. Oh, that's funny. How do you grill? Breakfast on the grill sounds wonderful. You have some recipes. I like this. This is something new for me.
Well, you know, I mean, I use my grill for everything because in the summertime, right. I'm not going to be in the kitchen and I'm not going to put the oven on. So, you know, you cook just like you would it, you know, in the house. You get a skillet. You put it on there. You can go eggs on there. You could do pancakes on there. Mm. You could definitely do sausages right on the grill itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a really nice way to start a Sunday morning or Saturday morning. Sit outside, breathe in some fresh air, and eat breakfast outdoors. It's a really nice way to start the day.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Karen is next from Highland. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I actually drive to Highland. it's fruit. It's fruit, so I can get reception as well. It's the fruit. I just picked a gallon or two of raspberry.
Ooh.
Oh. 2 gallons, and I did it yesterday morning, and I'm making jam.
Mm.
And I make freezer jam, which is so incredibly easy. You get, like, Sure-Gel Light, and you just mix sugar and or whatever sweetener you want, and the fruit, and you stir it up. There's a minute of cooking with the stuff, but the fruit is raw, and you stir this stuff in, and then you freeze it. And my jam goes all over America.
Mm. Hey, let me ask you a question about that. How long does it stay in the freezer for?
Years. Years.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah, you can find a 2004 in the bottom of my freezer.
And when you take it out, you just defrost it and it's fine to use?
Yeah. Like my daughter in Brooklyn, New York, will take bigger jars, and she just takes it out, and they just take, you know, scoop a day's worth or a couple and let it thaw, or spread it on your toast cold. You can get really into that.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
You just mix it. I mean, it's this incredible thing. You mix the sugar and the Sure-Gel Light and water, and you cook it for a minute. You boil it for a minute, and you pour it in with your crushed fruit. And then you put it in your jars, and tomorrow, actually in 10 minutes, it's jam if it's raspberry. If it's something that has less natural pectin, it takes a few more, like till tomorrow. You're supposed to leave it outside, out in the air for 24 hours. Then it stays fresh in your fridge for several weeks.
Wow.
And in your freezer for several years.
Mm.
And it tastes like fruit.
In the middle of winter, you're so happy to have that in there.
Oh, my God. You can mix it in with anything. You can spread it on anything. And you can do it in any variety.
That sounds so wonderful. You know, I've been actually, you know, I wrote this book. It took 3 years to write it, and now I'm thinking about a second book.
It's a good idea.
I'm thinking about celebrating all the seasons. And I've been thinking about, you know, jams and jellies. And I know a lot of people are intimidated because it's a lot of work.
Well, you know, it's easy, easy, easy. And just one other thing on fruit. My son got married last summer in Northern California, and it was this all-organic, everything wedding. And all his fruit-growing friends we bought, and we picked 144 pounds of blueberries at a farm. And for the main event, I mean, there was food and all that, but for the main thing, it was 15 huge platters of fruit.
Mm.
And there was a point where I was eating this quarter of the biggest, best peach I've ever tasted in my life.
You know what? It's almost like you can't stop.
You know, and I said, how did Sean plan this? I mean, was he thinking we'd have some Bacchanalian feast with juice dripping down our chins? That was exactly what he had in mind.
That sounds wonderful.
And it was amazing.
Oh, Karen, that's great. And if I were you, I'd go on the back stoop this afternoon and just eat a lot of those raspberries.
Make a summer pudding. The summer puddings are really easy to make with some bread and some of the fruit. You just put it in the refrigerator. It's such a wonderful treat.
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah. Thanks, Karen, so much for your call.
Thank you.
Lines are open. We're talking about summertime. Our guest is the author of Summer, A User's Guide, Suzanne Brown. And here's how you reach us, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. In Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050. Joe from Milwaukee, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You're talking about summertime memories. I'm 48, and I've lived in the city all my life. But when I was a kid, there was a farmer that drive his truck through the city streets, and he'd smoke a cigar, and I can still remember him calling out, tomatoes, potatoes, peaches, and everybody go running out to buy a peach or an apple or whatever he had. And those days, I was telling your screener, those days are gone, and what a wonderful time that was.
Even it was so simple, right?
Yeah, it was.
It's just a simple memory. I mean, I have the same, you know, running after the Good Humor truck, you know, with a quarter. And, you know, running down that hot pavement barefoot. We'd get out of the pool, we'd hear the jingle of the bells, and we'd run down that pavement with that quarter, you know, begging him to stop, you know, the truck.
Right.
And you never see that. You never see that anymore. First of all, you never hear, you know, Good Humor trucks around, you know, where we live because of, you know, the noise pollution laws. And you're certainly not going to get an ice cream for a quarter anymore.
Uh-huh.
But it's so wonderful, you know, standing there at the Good Humor truck wondering, what should I get? Should I get an ice cream sandwich or a strawberry shortcake?
Right, and life was much simpler then. And there was also an article in the paper, I don't know if you saw Sunday's paper, on porches. And summertime and how air conditioning has destroyed the porch life. People don't sleep on their porches or, you know, communicate with one another on their porches. It was a great article.
In my book, I have a section on porch swings, the old-fashioned porch swings. And everything used to take place on a porch swing. You'd sit out there in the night to get cool, and your neighbors would come over, and you'd maybe have a glass of lemonade or iced tea with them. Or, you know, you'd meet a boy that you liked, and you'd sit on a porch swing and hold hands. But you're right. It doesn't take place anymore. Everybody's in their houses with their doors closed and their windows shut, and they don't know their neighbors, and they don't do things outdoors like they used to.
That's right. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
What are the games of summer?
Oh, there's so many great games of summer. There was actually a New York Times article on this past Sunday in the Metro section on stickball and how these old-fashioned games that you play in the streets are not played anymore, like stoop ball and stickball and kickball. And it's interesting because, you know, you get to a point when you're writing a book where you're like, okay, I have to stop putting stuff in here or it's never going to go to press. And I could have written a whole section on the games that we played when we were kids because we just made things up off the top of our heads, and they were always wild and wacky and fun. And we were, you know, never bored, ever. We would just make things up no matter what. There's great backyard games. I mean, bocce and croquet and badminton is a great backyard game. And in the book, I also say, okay, you're going to have the inevitable rainy day, so let's give some rainy day things to play, like dominoes or poker or solitaire. There's so many things to do in the summer, and the games that we play just bring people together. They're always a nice way, if you're having a party, to break the ice, if everyone doesn't know each other. Throw some bocce balls out on the lawn and let people play and get to know each other. It's a great way to break the ice.
It sure is. Do they still make, we used to do paper dolls. Oh, I used to love paper dolls for whatever reason.
I loved them too.
Did you?
Then they became color forms.
Oh. So they don't have them the way they used to.
They still have paper dolls, but boy, did I love them with those little flaps that you'd bend over.
I spent hours and hours with a girlfriend just playing paper dolls on a porch.
I don't know if they have them, but I'm definitely going to look into that because that's a great idea.
Yeah, our number is 800-486-8655. We're talking with Suzanne Brown, who's the author of Summer, A User's Guide, which includes all kinds of information. There are recipes for summer foods, 50 fun things for children to do during this summer. It looks at the water. It's summertime. The book's about summer. Here's our phone, and we're asking you for your favorite things to do in the summertime or you might remember when you were a child. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 227-2050 in Milwaukee. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gonna be bright, 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 sunshiny day.
Suzanne Brown is our guest, and the book is Summer, A User's Guide. We're welcoming phone calls, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, and we go to Kathleen from Moline, Illinois next. Hi, Kathleen.
Yeah. Oh, Kathleen.
Hi.
I just thank you for taking my call. I wondered if kids ever went out and hunted crawdaddies anymore with a broom handle. You stick it in the hole and suck it up through the clay mud, and along would come a crawdaddy on the end.
Suzanne?
We didn't have... Are crawdaddies, are they in their oceans or lakes?
No, that was on a drainage creek out on, running down from, we were in the city, but we had farms on the edge and back of us, and the drainage creeks would go down. In fact, once we built a swimming hole with clay blocks, and we had a wonderful time for a while until the city found out something was wrong.
Oh, no.
And they couldn't get it loose, so they had to dynamite it.
We did such a good job. Good thing we weren't very happy with you.
Our parents weren't happy because they had to pay for it.
Oh, my gosh.
No. At least you were having fun, though.
That off.
And you have a great memory and a great story to tell.
But crawdaddies are a great thing when kids are looking for something to do. What a wonderful... It was just little drainage creeks and streams.
Mm-hmm.
Crawdaddies. I have to look them up.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. And somebody called in. Boy, this makes me feel old. You can get paper dolls on the back of the Home Companion magazine. That's how far you have to go to get paper dolls these days. Oh, you should bring those back, Suzanne.
They should.
Yeah.
They were so wonderful. You know what? I don't know. Everything's becoming so high tech.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, the positive reaction to this book is because it's encouraging people to just say no to high tech for a little bit. And believe me, I'm high tech. I have a design business. I do everything online. I sometimes never even talk to my clients. But when it comes to living my life, we try not to put the TV on. We listen to music. We do old-fashioned things. We go for walks at night. We just sit outside and look at the stars, and that's really how you should live your life. You shouldn't be tethered to machines all the time.
Cheryl is next. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. I'm so glad to talk to you, Suzanne.
Oh, thank you.
I ran into your book in the Denver Library when we were visiting our son and family in Denver, and I snatched it up and checked it out and handed it to my daughter-in-law, who's got a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Oh.
And I said, you're going to love it. I just fell in love with your book.
Thank you.
It is a wonderful book.
And Thank you. That makes me feel, you can't imagine how good that makes me feel. This is my first book.
Oh, it's great. It's a charming book. It's easy to read. You know, it just goes from one. It's not heavy. You just zap things. You know, I looked at the hopscotch stuff.
I'm on that page right now.
How much you can't remember. You know?
I know. You know what? You're right. Life gets in the way of the simple things that we did growing up.
Yes,
and those are important memories.
They're wonderful memories. But how was I going to do hopscotch with my granddaughter when I couldn't remember how to do it?
Right. Oh, we used to spend hours playing hopscotch, didn't you?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Hours.
I went to a book signing on Saturday up in Mystic, Connecticut, and they drew a hopscotch court in the front of the bookstore. And they left some chalk and a little basket of rocks. And it was amazing how many kids came up and hopped and didn't know that you're supposed to use a rock. They just started hopping on it. And I said, okay, the next generation definitely needs to learn how to do these things.
Sure. Well, I just wanted to call and tell you that it's a great book.
Thank you so much. That means so much to me.
In fact, it's on my Christmas list.
Oh, I'm hoping that I can do another one. I have a meeting with my publisher in a few weeks. I'm hoping I can do another one that inspires people just as much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
And let's go to Carol next from Brookfield. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Hi.
This is a delightful show. Thank you so much. I'm calling just to talk about food, which
my favorite subject.
Mine too.
Seems to be a great part of summer, but one of our best parts is we grow lots and lots of basil.
Oh.
And parsley and cilantro, and then we make oodles of pesto.
I have to tell you, pesto is my favorite all-time summer food.
Well,
I did an event at the Green Market in Union Square a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if anyone knows the Union Square Green Market in New York City, but there probably might be 100,000 people that go through on a Saturday.
Woo!
And I had a booth, and we were, you know, selling the book, and I was decided I was going to make a bunch of foods from the book. So I made pesto, and I spent $30 on basil, and I made what I thought was going to be enough pesto for maybe the entire day. Well, it was like a feeding trough, and the pesto, I must have had, I can't even tell you how much pesto I had. It was gone within an hour.
Yeah.
It was crazy. People were dipping bread into it and saying, this is the best pesto I've ever had.
Yeah.
And it was completely insane. And so apparently, you know, according to New York City residents, I should be jarring my pesto and selling it. But yes, I have. I grow an herb garden, and I couldn't agree more. I love cilantro. Cilantro is one of those herbs that you either love or hate.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and parsley goes in everything, and basil, as far as I'm concerned, you can't go wrong. It can go on any food, especially sandwiches.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I actually put it in salads. Just, you know, cut up the leaves. It's very good. But we make
it tastes like summer.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we make the pesto and freeze it. And we actually make a bunch. Last year we had, I think, 150 batches.
Woo!
Hey, folks, you grow a lot of pesto.
Well, and
I mean, basil.
Away all year round, and it's just it's a bite of summer. So.
It is. You're right. And the other, we have mint, and I grow my mint in pots because I don't want my whole garden to be a mint garden. But mint is the, you know, we have it growing right now on our patio. And you go outside in the morning, and it just smell that mint.
Yeah.
And, it smells so good.
It's great. It takes over, doesn't it? It's taken over the whole side of my house.
It does.
It's great.
You got to grow that in pots. Otherwise, your whole garden will be a mint
It's
garden.
Mint, yeah. Thanks, Carol, so much for your
Thank
call.
Thank you.
800-486-8655. Daryl is next from Exonia. Hi, Daryl.
How are you doing?
All right. How are you?
Good. Let me walk away from the radio here so you don't... I was just thinking of what I did when I was a kid in summertime is we went to Greenfield Park in West Dallas, and it was a quarter.
It was a quarter?
Yeah, and now it's, well, they built a new pool there now, so it's all fancy, but we'd ride our bikes. I lived on 96th Street, and we'd drive all the way to the park, and for a quarter, you got a locker, and you could swim all day.
Oh,
that's pretty good.
Right.
And I heard the lady talking about the crawdads. When I was a kid, you take a piece of string, and you put a piece of liver on it, cow liver. And you throw it in the water next to a rock, and then the crawdad crawls out, and he grabs it, and you pull him out of the water.
Let me ask you a question. I'm a little intrigued by these crawdads. Do you eat them, or are they like crabs?
They're like shrimp. They're really good. You put them, you boil them just like a shrimp, and then you
What they are.
Yeah,
I've had crawdaddies. Now I get it.
But Wisconsin's got huge ones. You go up north, you know, like Lake Nelson and stuff, and they got crawdads there that are big as your hand. They're delicious.
Yeah. I'm with you about swimming. Swimming in the summertime. I've lived in the city a long time now, and it struck me just the other day as I was going to one of my summertime swimming holes that I know almost every swimming hole in this area. The parks, the places you can go to within 20 minutes, perhaps.
Well, Watertown's got, they got a really nice one now. I live out this way, but they got a slide that's like just like you would pay at a big water park, and it's free, and you can just ride it over and over and over, and my kids love it.
So.
Thanks, Daryl.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thanks so much for the call. Let's go next to Dale is calling from Eau Claire. Hi, Dale.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I just calling. I heard you mention cooking on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
I love to cook on the grill. But my favorite thing on the grill is pizza.
Really?
Oh, I have a recipe in my book for pizza on the grill.
Yes, that is just awesome. Homemade pizza or frozen pizza, don't matter. I usually get like a wood chips that you can buy in a day anywhere. And I use charcoal grill. I don't use gas. I never tried it.
That's the best way to do it. And then it's like almost like a brick oven pizza.
Yep, and just wood chips, cherry chips, whatever, put on your briquette. Put your pizza on her. 5 minutes, you got one of the best tasted pizzas you'll ever eat.
And the crust comes out perfectly when you do it that way.
Does it? Great.
It's perfect. I love pizza on the grill.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dale. have a good lunch. I think that's probably where he's going. Margaret from La Crosse. Hi. Hi, Margaret.
Hello.
Hi.
I was going to say that one of my favorite memories is that we grew up in La Crosse, but we grew up downtown. My father had a business, and we had an apartment above the business, and we had nothing but retail businesses all around. We had no backyard. Our backyard was a city park that was two blocks away.
Mm-hmm.
And so during the day, Mom would send us, you know, off to the park to play, and we would have our pickup regulation. It was nowhere near regulation softball. We had trees, first base and third base, that just happened to be aligned from each other. It was whatever the distance we had. We had a dip in the ground that was pitcher's mound, and we always had a garbage can for second base. And there was a lot of us in that area growing up in like a 5-6 block area that grew up downtown. And it was whoever showed up that day, we'd have a softball game going. And as it turned out, because there was nothing but businesses around, we'd have people coming out on their lunch breaks.
They were rooting for you?
Yes, setting up the
party. Oh, that's so sweet.
Watching us. And then there was a bakery that was just exactly adjacent to the park, and there was bushes and a fence that separated it. And it got to be at times that when the delivery men would come back to the bakery with their stuff that wasn't sold that day or the day-old stuff, it got to be the point that they would just holler over the fence at us, and we ended up with all of the leftover bakeries that we wanted.
Oh, Margaret. That's a great story.
When we'd go at night, as soon as the streetlights came on, you know, you had to head for home, and if we were a little late or something like that, there was that was when police would, do the beat, walk the beat, and all my mom would have to do was go down or holler out the window to the neighborhood cop who was on duty that night.
Hey, where are they?
Yeah, you tell them it's time to come home.
I love that story.
Isn't that a great story?
That is.
We just did a little
wonderful
movie in
that's
our
what
minds.
It's about. That's just wonderful.
Right. And you gotta think of baseball, be it a pickup game that you put together or going to a game or listening. It's got to be listening to a ball game on the radio outside.
On the AM radio.
Yep. Yep. That's summertime. I hate watching it on television, I must say. I'm sorry. But listening to it on the radio.
It's funny because when you watch it on TV, it seems boring, but when you listen onto the radio, it doesn't.
I agree.
That's so true. I think it's the announcers.
Right,
they make
right.
it more interesting.
And the quality of the radio announcing here for the Milwaukee Brewers is exceptional. So it's fun. They're humorous and knowledgeable. And
it's a little more colorful.
Mm-hmm. And that's summertime, too. I mean, you've got a section on baseball in your book.
Oh, I do. I asked my friend today. I was at my gym this morning, and I asked my friend, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? And she said, oh, we're going to a Yankee game. And I was like, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. It's a great thing to do on 4th of July.
Sure is. Yeah. Thanks very much for your call, Margaret. It was a wonderful call. Judy from Green Bay. Hi.
Good morning. I would just like to say I've been enjoying the memories. And I would say if anybody's looking for summertime, it's alive and well in the city that I live in, which is the great city of Green Bay. I have two kids. They're getting a little bit older now, so we're getting out of some of that stuff. But when you talk about ice cream trucks, we live a few blocks from a park, so we get ice cream trucks so often. We hear the music, and one of my daughter's favorite memories is she swears she ran a mile to catch the ice cream truck. I ran a mile. You know, we've got a great wicker love seat on our porch. We spend time out there. I mean, kids in the neighborhood would play. I don't know if anyone else is familiar with a game called Ghosts in the Graveyard.
Sure.
That
oh, yeah.
was a great summer game, swimming. We've got great aquatic centers. We've got two of them, actually, in town. And, of course, lakes everywhere. And we got a great baseball team called the Green Bay Bullfrogs.
Oh.
You know, we've got Art Street. We've got a fair. We've got Bay Beach for amusement rides. It's just a great place. And I think kids up in the city really do enjoy summertime.
Yeah.
You're a great mom because you don't hear moms that enthusiastic about things like that these days. So that's kudos to you for doing that and for encouraging your kids to appreciate all those things.
Right. Suzanne, thank you ever so much for being with us.
Thank you. The book is
Summer, a User's Guide. Suzanne Brown is the author, and it is one beauty of a book as well. It's fun to just, even if you're sick and you can't get out, just to look at the pictures does your heart good. Happy summer.
Enjoy your summer.
Thanks. I will. Bye-bye. You too. Thanks to Mimi Notstein for producing this hour. And thanks to John Treader for on-air production and all your wonderful calls of summer memories. I'm Kathleen Dunn. I will be off tomorrow. We have a student with us from Northern Ireland, and we're into a whole host of activities, but we're doing a 4th of July tradition with family friends in Illinois, and so it's all good, right? Summer's all good for the most part. Yeah, I love it. Be with you again on whatever the day after tomorrow is. Have a good 4th. This is the Ideas Network.
Each morning, you're gonna rise up singing. Then you'll spread your wings and take to the sky. But until that morning, there is nothing can harm you. No, 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 no. With Daddy and Mommy standing by.